Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota has one of the lowest death rates from overdose in the nation, but that doesn't mean we aren't facing our own opioid crisis. A new facility in Rapid City seeks to treat those struggling with addiction before it's too late. Tim Elward is the clinical director of Project Recovery. Shelby Thompson is a social worker also with Project Recovery, and they join us from inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Rapid City studio. Tim, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks, Lori. Glad to be here.
Shelby, thanks for being here as well.
It is a pleasure.
Tim, give us a little background before we talk about the ribbon cutting today and sort of the bigger picture. How did the conversation about needing this kind of facility begin?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lori. So as you mentioned, I'm the clinical director, but our founder and owner is Dr. Stephen Tamang, and he is a family health physician with Regional. And about a year and a half ago, started to see the need for this treatment. I mean, he had a lot of patients who were more or less addicted to opioids, and that can show up in a number of different ways. But multiple patients who came to him for help, and he went through the process of getting a specific waiver, which is required to be able to prescribe a specific medication called Suboxone, and that is the treatment for opioid use disorder. Anyway, he started that about a year and a half ago, and it quickly grew. Fast forward to today, where we have 7 providers, a burgeoning nursing staff, social worker, and hopefully counseling coming on board soon as well.
Tim, do you think the problem was always there and the awareness grew, or do you think the problem was, or we're dealing with a certain time when, opioids were overprescribed, when the companies were saying things that were sort of, doctors have said, were deceptive? Is the problem, I guess what I'm really wondering is the problem going to peak and then sort of fade away as we deal with things? Where are we at in this arc?
That's a great question as well. So obviously, the more that we do of this, the more we realize that there is a need. And as of this point, we're adding about a new patient every day. So the trajectory is I think it's more awareness. And I don't know if I could say, in terms of the broader epidemiology picture, hey, is the trajectory up or is it down? All that we know is that we've started to provide a service, and it's been proven to be especially needed and useful, at least in Western South Dakota.
Tim, let's stick with you for a minute and tell us about Project Recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. So Project Recovery started in October of last year. It started with a couple of providers, myself, Troy Thompson, Dr. Tamang, and we began to see folks using medication-assisted treatment, which is the gold standard for opioid use disorder and alcohol use disorder. As I mentioned before, to be able to prescribe the specific medications for opioid use disorder, which is called Suboxone, it requires a specific waiver. So there are certain barriers to entry to treat this population. However, it's unfortunate because this medication does wonders for people. And not only is it for the typical heroin user, we're also treating people in their 50s, their 60s, their 70s who are addicted to opioids. And that can look like someone who had a hip or a knee or a shoulder surgery 5, 10, 15 years ago and has just been on escalating doses of opioids since that time. So we're really seeing a need, and it's bimodal. I mean, we see people in the very young, in their late teens and 20s, what you would typically describe as an opioid abuser. And we also see the folks to the edges, to the periphery, 50s, 60s, 70s.
Mm-hmm. Shelby Thompson, you're a social worker with Project Recovery. Tell me a little bit about how your role comes into what Tim is talking about.
Well, like Tim said, we have a really wide spectrum of individuals coming, and so their background really determines what their recovery is going to look like. So if you're someone that maybe is just recovering from like he said, a surgery, and you very accidentally became like hooked on these medications, your treatment is going to look a little differently than someone who has maybe been using heroin on the street for years and is homeless and has a lot of instability in their life. So we sort of work to do really holistic treatment, but also based on exactly what the patient or client is looking for. So if you come in and say, this is my situation, then we can tell you obviously what would be ideal for you. Like, hey, let's get you set up with counseling. Let's get you set up with a doctor to get you a physical because you haven't been to the doctor in years. But it just all depends on what they want. So we help them. We help pair them with services to meet their needs and to meet them right where they're at, because our whole principle of treatment from the social work side, and I guess the medical side too, is just based on harm reduction. So even if we don't get you to what the ideal state would be, like if we know that you could really benefit from counseling, but you're just not interested, we still see it as a win, just that we've got you on this medication to help fight at least one of your battles. Mm. So
tell me, Shelby, how you work with families and what sort of, what sort of journey does a family member take on as their loved one goes through this kind of treatment?
You know, it can be, I think as we would all suspect, really, really difficult. And that's why we're so happy to have, we refer out for a lot of that sort of counseling to get families and their loved one to be able to work together. The South Dakota Avoid Opioid, they've done a lot of great stuff with getting like peer recovery and peer support, not only for the patients, but also for their families. So mothers have another mother to talk to about what it's like and how to process. And I myself, we haven't done a lot through Project Recovery specifically with families. That's a component I'd really love to add. But yeah, for right now, we mostly refer out so people can get the counseling and then hopefully that family component goes along with that.
Yeah, all about making those connections and finding those resources. Tim, tell us about the ribbon cutting today.
Yeah, so this afternoon is our quote-unquote official grand opening, even though we've been in the building for a few weeks. But yeah, this afternoon at 4 p.m. In Rapid City, our location is grandly opening, and so we are super excited about that. We've got a lot of folks showing up. I think there's about 40 city leaders and folks who have really invested in seeing this come to fruition.
And Tim, tell me how this sort of folds into efforts in the community, because you talk about, you know, an individual with an issue. This is really a community issue and needs community support.
Absolutely. So that's kind of been the main thrust from the beginning, is what kind of partnerships can we develop to best serve as many people as we can? We talk a lot about a systems-based approach to treating substance abuse. And so the ways that we're trying to do that is through partnerships with Pennington County Jail, with their new care campus, with their detox facility, Cornerstone Rescue Mission. We have partnerships with Pine Ridge Reservation. And then also trying to branch into newer facilities kind of in the northern Black Hills as well. So all of this kind of tries to, like I said, create the systems-based approach. That way we don't lose people that are falling through the cracks or have previously fallen through the cracks. I think, you know, unfortunately, the nature of how substance abuse is treated now is that it's a criminal event. And so, unfortunately, we're finding a lot of these patients through that point. And then there's just a huge amount of referrals just from word of mouth. So the word is getting out that there's help now. There's finally kind of help for these people.
And Tim, tell me more about, expand on what Shelby was saying about reducing harm. What does that look like in real life?
Yeah, harm reduction is really at the core, and it's a term that would be very familiar to those who treat substance abuse. Harm reduction essentially takes an activity that someone's doing that has the potential to really hurt them, i.e. IV drug use, and it essentially cuts down on the harm of what that could end up happening, what could end up happening to that patient. Essentially, we are looking at things like needle exchange programs, which are funded by the CDC to provide people with clean needles. And I know that's a bit of a shocker, but that's one thing that we could reduce rates of abscesses, infection, HIV, hepatitis C, which are a huge burden on our economy. So things like that, things like giving patients the benefit of the doubt when it comes to giving them the medications that they need. And what I mean by that is there's this kind of understanding, or at least a thought, that there's some diversion going on. And what that means is just that, hey, are these patients selling the medications? And turns out that buprenorphine or Suboxone accounts for about 1% of all drugs that are being diverted on the market. So it's a very, very low percentage. Along with that, it's a medication that's incredibly safe to use. Harm reduction says, you know, we're gonna give these patients what they need. We're going to hopefully reduce the amount of adverse effects that come along with this type of behavior.
And Shelby, then that makes me think again about what you were saying about relationship building, because if someone interacts with the staff, harm reduction might mean one thing today. It might mean a next step 2 months from now. Am I interpreting that right? Where you build that relationship and you can walk somebody further and further down the road to recovery over time?
No, that is absolutely spot on. I think one of the things that often surprises patients is that the harm reduction philosophy is so deeply embedded that if you're in our MAP program and you show up and you admit to us some sort of life stressor happened, you had a bad day, something occurred in your life that caused you to relapse, and now you're back into our clinic, we look at you and we say, you know, it sometimes takes a couple runs at this, so let's keep working together. And I think a lot of times people are surprised that they can have a relapse or they can fall short of perfection, and we are more than happy that they chose to come back and see us again.
Yeah, I'm thinking about somebody overcoming the shame of participating in a needle exchange program, for example. What you know is happening in your life, and then facing somebody else and sort of admitting where you're at. What exactly is going on? You guys are doing some pretty intense work here at Project Recovery. You also have medication for alcoholism. Tim, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the mainstay of treatment for alcohol use disorder is a medication called naltrexone. We usually dose that either once a day or in a long-acting injectable medication called Vivitrol. So both of those medications work exactly the same in that they block the opioid receptor. In turn, what that does is it really significantly reduces cravings for alcohol. And then when people do end up drinking, if they do while on this medication, it would really stunt the euphoric effect that people would experience from alcohol. So it's a really kind of, it hits it from both angles. People don't want to drink while they're on it. And if they do drink while they're taking it, really there's very little reward for doing so.
Hmm. Is there opportunity here to bring these services across the state in a telemedicine format or in some kind of connectivity that's possible in the 21st century?
Yes, absolutely. So that is something that we've been very passionate about just because South Dakota is so geographically separate with Rapid City in the west and Sioux Falls in the east. And so what we are trying to do, and we are now in the process of implementing, is telemedicine. And like you mentioned, that is cutting-edge technology. It has been around for a bit, and we've just been working on getting all the legalities sorted out, which we have at this point. So yeah, you're exactly right. From our website, project-recovery.org, going to the appointments tab very soon, anybody in the state of South Dakota will be able to schedule a telemedicine appointment. We'll call in the prescription to their closest pharmacy, and we can hopefully expand our services to anyone and everyone who needs it.
Shelby, how much of addiction in your experience, I don't need a scientific number, but just you know, your initial thoughts about how much of it coexists with other mental health disorders, other problems, other issues in people's lives? And maybe that's a question for Tim as well.
You know, that is actually sort of a hot button question, because I think so often in the mental health field, it's difficult to know if it's chicken or the egg.
Right.
Like, do you have a mental health issue that is being manifested through an addiction, or is this addiction a mental health issue in itself? You know, I tend to take a very holistic view of thinking that we all have patterns of addiction. One of my favorite addiction specialists, Dr. Gabor Mate, talks a lot about how the difference between someone who is addicted and someone who isn't is either they had more trauma than you or less help. And that's sort of the philosophy that I adhere to, is that there's not one thing that's gonna fix it for you. It's gonna be maybe just MAT treatment. It's gonna be maybe counseling. It's gonna be lifestyle changes. We joke a lot in the office about how I think everyone should do yoga and meditate. But it definitely, I think, is such a multifaceted field, and I think that's why people get so passionate about it, because there's just so many angles to attack it from. What would you add to that?
Yeah, so I'd agree and say that, you know, increasingly we, you know, in obtaining a history from the patient, the vast majority have a history of trauma or abuse or alcoholism in the home or parents who used, and so you can kind of see those patterns developing. And so I'd agree with Shelby 100%, but also add that, you know, these stories, the stories that we hear are very, very important. And it's hugely important to get to know the patient so that you know what they're dealing with, what types of traumas they've been through.
Mm. And Tim, before we let you go, talk to some of those people who are maybe thinking about seeking treatment about the potential for success. What's on the other side of the hard work and you know, walking in the door and saying, you know, I need some help, talking to your doctor, finding, seeking assistance. Tell me some success stories. What's on the other side of treatment?
Yeah, so that was one of the main reasons why I kind of switched from family medicine into this specialty is the success. I mean, it's hugely successful. When you look at a residential inpatient program that does not utilize MAT, medication-assisted treatment, the chance of relapse is close to 100%. Mm-hmm. When you throw MAT in there and what we're seeing, the chances of them doing well and succeeding are well over 75%. And so it's almost a flip-flop reversal on, you know, the success rates that we're seeing implementing these medications. And so I would say we are welcome. We are accepting patients from anywhere, like I said, and we are more than happy to get them in the door and at least have a conversation. On the other side, one of the biggest things that I love to see is that people are holding down jobs. Their relationships with their family, their friends are restored. They have money in the bank. They have fewer infections. They have fewer societal problems. They have fewer trips to jail. I mean, it's just, it affects absolutely every part of this person's life. And that's the holistic approach that we see. That's the holistic response to treatment, which is just a beautiful thing, I think.
Hmm. Tim Elward is the clinical director of Project Recovery. Shelby Thompson is a social worker also with Project Recovery, and they joined us in the SDPB Rapid City studio. Tim, Shelby, thank you so much for stopping by today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, thank you.